The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Reoccurring phrase in the Old Covenant. We talked about it last week. We talked about the fact that it says in the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews, they that come to God, it's an imperative of faith. Say that with me, an imperative of faith. It's essential to faith. They that come to God must. That's the imperative. There's, when God puts it in those straightforward terms, as the scripture was written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God's word is God speaking to us. Not just this apostle or that disciple, but God through that apostle, that prophet, that disciple speaking to us. That's why the word of God is inerrant. That's why it is eternal. Was it written by men? Yes. As they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. They were not just sitting around writing their thoughts and what they believed. It was a direct revelation by the Holy Spirit. And it's something God has preserved. That's why it's taken all the hits and survived. There's no book in the world that is more controversial and more combated, if you please, than the Bible, the Word of God. People don't like you to quote it. People don't like you to read it. They don't like you to carry it. Remember a preacher coming back from an evangelistic meeting, actually in Hawaii. He was coming back from a conference in Hawaii. Not a bad place to have a conference, you know. Anyway, he was coming back, and he said, I was reading my Bible, and I was sitting by a man in a suit, looked like a businessman. He was reading the Wall Street Journal or one of those things that tells where the stocks are in the news, and he was reading that, and he said, well, I just pulled out my Bible, and you know, small Bible. It wasn't some big, you know, choke-a-horse Bible. It was just a Bible, and he pulled it out, and he opened it up, began to read, and he said that businessman kept uncomfortably glancing at me while I read that book. It bothered him. You know, he could have been reading a Playboy, and that's fine. But he's reading a Bible. He could have been reading the news. That's fine. He could have been reading a magazine. That's fine. But a Bible? That's uncomfortable. He said he saw his body language. He kind of tensed up when I opened my Bible. I couldn't help but see him in my peripheral. And he said I kept looking to catch his eye when he looked at me uncomfortably. He looked at me again, and I caught his eye, and I said, you got the bad news. I got the good news. The Bible is good news because it's God's word to us, and it's been preserved. I heard one preacher put it this way. It's like a blacksmith shop. Said a guy went into a blacksmith shop back in the day when they had the bellows, and they got the fire hot and they got the metal hot so they could beat it with a hammer into what they wanted it to be. And he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, how many hammers have you had? Because he looked over and saw about 10 hammers that had been mushroomed on the end because of the heat and the constant beating. They mushroomed out. He said, I had a whole bunch of hammers. He said, well, how many anvils have you had? He said, that's the original anvil right there. He said, the hammers, from beating on that anvil, after a while, they wear out. The handle wears out. The anvil becomes a little bit disfigured on the end. But the anvil never gives a bit. And the guy thought about it, used it as an illustration. That's how the Word of God is. They have beat on it since the beginning. They're beating on it today. And every atheist and every agnostic and every pagan and everybody that's attacked it, they're gone. But the anvil is still with us today. Can you say amen? And it is sure. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And that word inspiration is a powerful word in the Greek. It means God breathed. And that same breath of God is in this word that he breathed into Adam when he took that clay that he had fashioned, and when he breathed into it something of himself, something eternal and something alive. And Adam became a living soul. Praise God. And this word, that's why Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're not like anybody's words that have ever been spoken. For the words that I am speaking unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Can you say amen? So how many like soul food? Well, we're going to have some spiritual soul food today. Amen. Now we'll take the pause button off. They that come to God must believe that He is, not just that He exists. The devils believe. Thou sayest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. You're right, and I'm going to submit to you, they are more convinced than we could possibly be. Because they were there with Him. They rebelled and followed Satan in that rebellion. And they know the person and the power that we and they are dealing with. You mentioned it, talking about the songs. The demoniac of the Gadarenes, they had a legion of devils. They recognized Jesus Christ immediately. Not just as their superior, but way beyond that. And they said, why comest thou to persecute us before our time? We know a time is coming when you're going to come to this earth and rule and reign, and we know our time is going to be up, and there's nothing we can do about it. You are superior. We can't help but bow to you. We know who you are. And I'm going to tell you something. When God's people know who He is, we're going to quit being intimidated by the devil. Amen. We're going to start having what I call holy boldness. The righteous flee when no man pursueth. They have every kind of fear and phobia that you could imagine. But the righteous people, right with God, who know who He is, not just that He exists, but they know who He is, they're bold as a lion. Satan goes about as a lion. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God. Amen. They that come to God must believe that He is. That He not just exists, but that He is good, and that He is love. We've known and believed, 1 John says, we've known and believed the love of God because God is love. He has power. He has authority. He has compassion. He grants grace. All of these things come out of the essence of who He is. It's not just what He has. It's not just what He does. It's why He does what He does. And knowing who He is. Remember when Paul preached at Mars Hill to pagans who worshiped all kinds of man-made gods? And what did he say to them when he began to preach Christ to them and declare the true and living God to them? He said, you don't know what you worship. You know the names. You may worship Diana or Jupiter or any number of your false pagan gods. You don't know what you worship, literally who you worship. But we know. They that come to God must believe that God is love. And God, therefore, is good. And it is the foundation and the basis for believing that He is, therefore, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to stop here a minute and say, listen, if you need healing, don't initially seek healing. Initially seek the healer. Because the prayer of faith saves the sick for one reason. Amen. Because God honors that prayer and the Lord raises us up. A healing ministry is based on the Lord honoring the prayer of faith. And when He does, He raises us up. So they that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. God is love, therefore He is good. God is love, therefore we can count on a response from Him. He that feareth is not perfected in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear. Now, some people believe they need deliverance from some spirit of fear. And I don't doubt that there is some spirit that just keeps us locked into fear. But the majority of the time, you don't need deliverance from a spirit. You need to have faith in your own spirit. Thank you for the hearty omies. Amen. People are looking for someone to do for them what you're supposed to do for yourself. To lay hands on you and cast out something that you've entertained. You've got to renounce that. It's not simplistic, but it's not all that complicated. The Lord is good. But you've got to know what it means. It means that God is love. Therefore, motivated by who He is. It is the foundation and the basis for all that He does. If God loves you with enough love to give His Son for you, the logic of the cross says in Romans 8:32, if He loved us enough to offer up, give Jesus to take our place on the cross as a sacrifice lamb, to offer Him up, if He loved us that much, how will He not? How could we doubt that He would withhold from us that we desperately need from Him? Can you say amen? If you doubt His love, doubt is going to be a giant just like that giant. And it can lead to literal unbelief. But if you know who He is, that's why the Bible said, don't let the rich man glory in his riches. Don't let the mighty man glory in his strength, or the wise man glory in his wisdom. That means to boast in that. But he that boasteth, he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me. The finite beginning to understand the infinite. You got to have some help. You got to have a basis in the Word of God, and you got to have a revelation by the Holy Spirit. I can't convince you how much God loves you. I can tell you about the cross and the fact that He died on the cross, but the love of God experienced is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about having the right dogma, the right doctrine, and a good speaker that is eloquent and educated that can explain. And that's good stuff. That's foundational stuff. But there is an anointing that breaks yokes. There is anointing that reveals. Flesh and blood did not reveal who Jesus was to Simon Peter, but my Father only. This is exclusively the work of God by the Holy Spirit. Who do men say that I am? They speculate. They say you're John the Baptist. They say you're Elijah come. Well, who do you say that I am? Of all people to ask. A fisherman. Amen. Peter. Who did you say that I am? And without skipping a beat, without any theological background, without being part of the Sanhedrin, without being a scribe, what does he say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, yeah, and you're Peter. And flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. The world can't see what we see. That's why they can't hear what we say. But we see it. Can you say amen? Let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Knowing and understanding. That's what it means when it says, they that come to God must believe that he is. You must know and understand that God is love. He has compassion. He grants grace. He heals. He delivers. He does all of these things. But that's not who he is. The reason that he does all these things, and the reason we can have an expectation from him. I talked about the man that asked us to pray for him. It took about 10 years for him to ask me to anoint him with oil and pray for him. Amen. They had to see it walked out and lived out. They know I'm Pentecostal. They know we have certain beliefs. Part of that is laying hands on the sick, believing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believing that through his own body, he bare our sins on the tree, and with his stripes we are healed. Old Testament in Isaiah 53 said we were healed. It said we are healed by his stripes. In the New Testament, looking back to the cross, it says we are healed. Hallelujah. And finally, and what convinced him was, a month ago, I was talking to Pamela about it today. He said, Brother Robert, I bet you I take more pills than you. I said, if you take a pill at all, I got to be careful here. This is not pride. If any man boasts, let him boast what? That he knows and understands me. Well, I'm going to boast in him because God is merciful. I've had a stroke. I'm not Superman. I hate to break it to you, but you're not Superman or Superwoman. Amen. But we have a faithful Father. We have a good God. We have a God that responds to us when he said, and Brother Taylor right here, when I said that in another meeting last week or week before, he said the gospel. He takes the gospel. Well, the gospel is good news. There was a man at Lystra in Acts 14 that never had walked, lame, just like the man at the gate beautiful from his mother's womb. He never had walked, never could walk. The same heard Paul preach. Previous scripture said they went down into Lystra and they preached the gospel, the good news unto them. Based on what's about to happen, healing and deliverance and answered prayer is not extraneous to the gospel. It is part and parcel of the gospel. When I say full gospel, I'm not just talking about shouting, dancing. I do both. I'm not just talking about talking in tongues or falling out in the power. I have done both and continue to do both on occasion. If I fall out, make sure there's a catcher. I don't bounce no more, Brother Taylor. Amen. If y'all go lay hands on me, put Jimmy behind me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just underneath. Come on, I know the scripture. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Right where I need them. Amen. They went down to Lystra and preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. And there was a man there that never had walked. And Paul, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving by the word of knowledge, by the Holy Spirit, listen, that he needed healing? No, that was obvious. But that he had the faith to be healed. Well, where did he get the faith to be healed? All faith. Faith to be saved, faith to be delivered, faith to be helped, faith to be healed, faith to be protected, faith to be provided for. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. It's what he heard when they preached the gospel. So the gospel had to encapsulate and have within it healing, deliverance, answered prayer. Not just get saved and live like the world around us as if we don't have a Father in heaven. And we don't have a mediator in Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants us to live different. He wants us to know who he is. For they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And God is looking for someone that has that knowledge and will base their faith on that knowledge of him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I mean, we're trying to get God to move. He said, I'm looking for someone that'll believe me, so it'll release me to move. The eyes of the Lord are run. I want to be a big old blip on his radar. Come on. How about it? When I pray, I want it just light up the screen. There's somebody knows who I am. They believe that I not only exist, they know who I am. They believe that I'm good. The Lord is good. He's God, of course, but He's good. God is the title to Him. Jah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Halo, Jah. Praise ye, Jah, J-A-H, that ancient three-letter name for Him. But who He is, His essence, is love. And the ancient Hebrew word is hasid. Let me tell you some things about hasid as we go forward very quickly. By the way, I'm going to just have to push the pause button. I ain't going to finish this. You know I couldn't. The Bible scholars have said this is a strengthening truth, a reliable foundation. God's love is like an ocean. You can see its beginning, but not its end. No matter what you face, you can rely on God's hasid. That's the word that was used. It's a mystical word, and yet it's a practical word. It's a word that describes the essence of God and His character and His person, not just His power and His ability. Today, no matter what you face, you can rely on God's hasid, who He is, His unchanging character of love. Loving kindness is a result of this. Goodness is a result of this. Healing and help and salvation is all a result of who He is, because it governs what He does. If you know He is good, He is love, you can have an expectation to receive the answer from Him. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, responder to them that seek Him diligently. Amen. You can rely on God's hasid in the best way. His love is predictable, tenacious, and unchanging. Predictable, tenacious, and unchanging. And I like the scripture he quoted in the book of Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, and the word here for love is hasid, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. That's what Psalm 46 is based on. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Not just a very present help, but an ever present help in the Hebrew. He's very present because He's ever present. Where can I go from Thy Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, You're there. If I make my bed in the grave and I die and go into the ground, even there, Your hand shall uphold me. There's nowhere I can go where I'm too far for You to reach me. My daddy used to play that song, and he used to sing it, I was lost and undone without God nor His Son when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me. Praise God. I like that gospel song sung by that church choir in Kentucky by Jeremiah Yoakum's group. It wasn't him singing it, but that song. If he has to reach way down, Jesus will lift you up. Can you say amen? Because God is love. That's why mercy is a result of hasid. That's why grace is a result of hasid. Another scholar says hasid is the most fundamental characteristics of God, consistent with what we know about His covenant nature. Hasid is wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God: love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty, in short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. God doesn't do things just because He cannot lie and He's on record and you can claim the word. God does everything He does out of love for you and love for me. Hallelujah. He said, I didn't keep my covenant with you because you were greater than other people in the old covenant. It's the hasid. That's why He did it. I didn't keep my covenant with you, Israel, because you were sweeter and kinder and greater in number. In fact, He said, you're a stiff-necked people. You're stubborn. You're hard-headed and hard-hearted. If you want to know how powerful Hasid is, look what he put up with. And look what he did when they finally got it through their hard-headed old gourd. It's, Thanksgiving season, we can talk gourds here for a little while. Amen. When they returned to him, he said, I'm going to return to you. You're going to have to come back to get the grace, but if you come back, the grace is available to you. Old covenant grace was flowing because he was the same God. Can you say, I'm the Lord God of Israel? I change not. They that come to God must believe that he's God and that he therefore is love. And because he's love, he's good. And we can believe that he's going to respond to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what Hasid is all about. Hallelujah. And I like this true. This is so true. One of the Hebrew words for love is Hasid. And it's got it pronounced. I can't. But it's Hasid. H-E-S-E-D. Which is actually a difficult word to translate to English. That's because there is a range of meanings for it. But John Oswald, a theologian, said it is completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Praise God. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken, the hills be removed, yet my unfailing hasid for you will not be. That's why Psalm 46 was based on that knowledge of who he is. Hallelujah. Therefore will not we, or we will not fear, though the mountains be shaken and cast into the waters of the sea. When mountains collapse, Pompeii, as we've got in our morning sermon, and it's a good one if you want to listen to it. I believe it's going to bring souls into the kingdom. Amen. It's an important message today. Pompeii we use as an example. When Vesuvius erupted, literally that mountain shook that city. It killed people in place as they ran. And the archaeologists have found the ruins and people locked into place when all of that ash and lava came down from that great eruption. We will not fear though that kind of cataclysmic event occurs. Why? Therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be removed, cast into the midst of the sea. Amen. He's ever with us. He's with us. He's our heavenly Father. He's not some force in the universe. He's a Father. And he's a God who can be known. The infinite trying to understand, or the finite trying to understand the infinite. We can't fully understand, but when love expresses itself to us, we begin to sense and see the goodness of the Lord. We'd be crushed if I didn't believe God would come through and God would answer prayer. They've had 10 years, amen, to watch me go through a stroke. Having faith in God doesn't mean you don't have to face any giants or face anything. It means when they come, the giant of doubt, the giant of fear, the giant of unbelief, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Trust is a personal word. You have to know somebody to trust them. It is the basis for New Testament faith. Because when faith becomes mysterious, somehow or another, when it becomes magical, when it becomes I'm reading scriptures and promises, you don't have to know a person, you just believe the promise. It depersonalizes God. It actually does. It's a force. The hyper-faith preachers today preach faith as some kind, it's almost mysticism disguised as New Testament faith. Because you don't have to know God to have this faith. All you need is, and that's why they say they're word preachers and word churches. Well, this is, if you hang around here, you're going to get a lot of word. But it's not going, I'm not just going to point you to the word, I'm going to point you through the word to to God. Is that okay? I'm not just going to point you to a scripture. I had a little, it wasn't a statue, you know. It wasn't one of those idol things. And it was just one. It was a little goofy-looking guy in a robe sitting on my desk. And he's got two. He's obviously a Moses-looking guy, you know, with the beard and everything. He's got the two tablets of the law here. And it said at the bottom of it, take two tablets and call me in the morning. We can give people scripture all day long. I mean, I can dispense to you scripture. You call me up, I have a need. There it is, right there. Stand on it. Our job is so easy. Can you say amen? I mean, honestly, I could dispense you like the Pez. You could say Rev is a Pez scripture dispenser. They should have one with my head on it. One of those little Pez things. Say he dispenses scripture. And if you could believe that, the Bible said the gospel, the word did not prosper them in ancient Israel. It didn't prosper them. They had the gospel preached unto them, but it did not prosper them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God wants you to know more than know a scripture. He wants you to believe it. Stand on it. Grab a hold of it when everything else is shaking. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God wants you to know Him so you can stand on it. They that do know their God. The eyes of the Lord. Everybody say, I want to be a blimp too. Not a blimp. Come on, we're going to go eat soon. We pray, God, take the calories out of it, right? I want to be a blip on His radar. How about you? Would you like prayers answered? Would you like God to come through? Would you like that giant of fear to fall and that giant of doubt to kneel? Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord. God is looking for somebody to bless in such a way that He will be glorified and that we will experience His help in the time of trouble so we can bring glory and honor to Him. When we look like the world around us and we wring our hands instead of raise our hands, we can't tell them about God and about Christ because for all practical purposes, we're in the same boat they are. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look what's happening here. Look what's happening there. Look at the backsliders, the false prophets. Look at the pagan world. Look what's happening here, there. It's all happening, and it's getting worse in the last days. It's an opportunity for people of faith to believe God. Did not I say unto you, if you would believe at the tomb of Lazarus? Did not I say unto you that if you would believe, what is the imperative of faith? That I am, and I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Can you say, man, that you would see the glory of God? He's not talking about the cloud that led them. He's not talking about the pillar of fire, Pentecostal. Amen. He's talking about the answer to prayer, the supernatural intervention of God, the God of the impossible doing the impossible. Hallelujah. Well, there's nothing impossible with God, and there's nothing impossible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. I want to see the glory of God again. I want to see it again in my generation. Before I go home, I want to see one more time. I want to see people healed. I want to see cancer killed. I want to see heart disease healed. I want to see people delivered from fear and anxiety. I want to see people growing strong in the Lord because God's looking. God is not reluctant. God is not holding anything back from us. He opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Can you come on, this tight-fisted God is not your God. This God who is holding back what you need is not your God. He operates by a law of faith. Be it unto thee. Be it unto thee. Be it unto thee. Well, come on, church. Be it unto thee according to what? According to your need and your desperation and your... No, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you can believe, you can see. We don't see to believe. We believe to see. Can you say amen? And be it unto thee according to your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it doesn't just mystically, magically take place. The word of God gives us the revelation of God, that you might know him. Why did they call him Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Rapha? Because they had discovered that our God, because he is a Hasid, he is love, that he responded to heal his people. As it is written, saith the Lord, I will put none of the diseases on you that have come upon Egypt, for I am Jehovah Rophi. I'm the Lord that healed you. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Can you say, man? Gilead was known for its medicinal a capital, really. If you wanted some kind of poultice, you wanted some kind of herbal cure, you could go there. Everybody knew that. It was a medicinal city. If you had a malady, you go there. Is there no balm in Gilead? Everybody said, that's crazy. Is there no physician there? Are you? What planet are you from? They're all there. It's a Mecca for all of this medicine. Amen. Is there no nurse in Tampa General? Is there no doctor in St. Joseph's Hospital? Do they not have a cabinet with anti-snake bite serum? Somebody just got bit. Was it here in Florida or Texas? Florida got bit by a rat. It was a UPS or one of those express delivery guys. He put the package down, and a I don't know how many foot diamondback rattler bit him. They had to come and get him to a hospital. Guess what happened? When they got to the, they knew where to take him. They knew where to go. Thank God there was a hospital. Thank God there was a physician. Thank God there was a medication to counteract that. Is there no balm in Gilead? Amen. Is there no physician there? Summer's past, the time of heart. Listen, and my people are still not healed. They're still not delivered. They're still not set free. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Those who had their needs met, they found out something about his Hasid, who he is. And they begin to see what he does. When they believed who he was, they saw what he did in their behalf. Amen. Jehovah Sikhi knew, the Lord our righteousness. We can be right with him. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He forgives and he restores. They found out that he's a victor in battle. He's our banner, Jehovah Shammah. Amen. The enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord raises up a standard against him. And if you want to know who and what the standard was, a little further down it said, for a redeemer shall come to Zion. And we know who the redeemer is by name. Can you say amen? Jesus is our banner against the enemy. Praise God. And we follow him into battle and we win because he cannot be defeated. God is a gracious and good God today. But you've got to believe more than devils believe to receive from him. Believe that he is. I believe God exists. Well, good. The devils believe that way better than you do. You've got to believe that he is good. You say, but you don't know. I've drifted away from him. I failed him so many times. Listen, Hasid is different from human affection. There are people that will not respond to you when you fail them. If they do, they'll respond with criticism and accusation. Amen? But God is different. God is different. when you appeal to His mercy, when faith appeals to that love that produces that kind of mercy, God always responds. That's what gave hope. When Israel, can you imagine a prophet, a preacher, that preaches for a lifetime? God called, God appointed, God anointed Jeremiah. He got so tired of seeing no result. He said, you know, I wish that I could get out of all of this. They'd look at me so mean when I prophesy, trying to help them to get back right with God. But they look at me so mean. They treat me so mean. Nobody's getting right. Everybody's still worshiping their idols and compromising. He said, I wish I had a place way out in the wilderness. I mean way out in the wilderness, where the GPS can't even find it. Can you say, man? And I wish I was so far out that nobody had even come to my door. That's most pastors on Monday morning. If you don't know, that's a pastor thing. It's not a joke either. About 3,000 quit every year. I'm tired of preaching and not getting any results. I'm tired of preaching and getting it in the neck. I'm tired of prophesying and seeing nobody repent so God can restore them. So I wish I could just go way out in the woods, in his case the desert, way out in nowhere. And it would take a man that was lost out there to find where I am. He'd be out there saying, I don't know where I'm going, why I'm here, but look at there. There's a little shack over there. And I thought I saw someone looking out the window, but he ducked as soon as he saw me. Even a wayfaring man can't find me. I knocked on the door. He won't come to the door. He must be a hermit. He must be a weirdo. No, he's a burnout prophet. But he wasn't completely out. Amen. There was still some fire left inside of him. When he finally got back to his post, oh, it was grand. Saw a great revival. And no, he didn't. They slapped his face because he said judgment's going to come on you. They accused him of being unpatriotic and not telling him about the goodness of God. They slapped him around. They put him in a dungeon, fed him on the bread of affliction. What is that? That's bread and water. Not, they didn't feed him a good meal. They just fed him enough to barely keep him alive. And he sunk down in the mire. And he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. Can you blame him? No. But he was called. And this is going to separate the called from the people who just got up and went. Those that God sent are different from those that got up and went. He said, as I mused on these things, I said, I could not stay, for it was as fire shut up in my bones. With the appointing always comes the anointing. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not only over the preacher, but over people that need deliverance that's being preached to. The anointing breaks the yoke. Today it's put down, it's lambasted and lampooned. A lot of people quit even seeking that anointing or expression of the gifts of the Spirit because they've been so abused and misused. We're put in a camp and rejected because of it. I need the miracle of healing when I have a stroke like that. I need God's intervention. I need to be a real blip on His radar. And you know what He wants to do? Amen. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. What kind of a perfect heart is He looking for? Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through... Are you with me? I'm feeling him here today. Hallelujah. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. For he considered not his own age or stage of life, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what did he consider? He had to be considering, amen, not just the word, but the fact that God is good, God is Hasid, God God is love. Can you say amen? And when He makes a promise, He stands behind the promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I watch over my word to perform it. But even beyond that, He is means that you understand He's Hasid. And the reason He made the promise and the reason He stands behind the promise is because He loves you. And He loves me. And He so loved that He gave His only begotten to die on that tree for us. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thus will I praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. Praise God. Well, let's close with this. My closings are pretty lengthy. I don't have to tell you. This is the first closing. There's only about four or five more. No, this is honestly what I want to close with. Psalm 107 we read last week, but I want to read the last verse, not just the first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the wayside. He can't see. He's heard about Jesus. And what he's heard about Him is something that convinces him that He's good, that He's a merciful Savior. Not just that He has power, but that He's a person who responds in mercy and grace and goodness to them that call upon Him. So he's sitting by the wayside. He has something that his faith is reaching out and going to appeal to. And generally speaking, we want faith to be stimulated by the fact of just how powerful God is. Faith cometh by hearing. Find a promise. Yes, find a promise. That's the catalyst for faith. That's what we're hoping for, is the fulfillment of that promise. But the faith to believe that promise is to know the God who made it. To know the God who made it. Because if He isn't faithful because of His mercy, grace, and love for you, then the promise has no value. You've got to trust Him. I don't believe there's any definition of New Testament faith that can be understood, appreciated, or appropriated unless you understand Old Testament trust, in effect, the Hasid of God that caused them to trust. One of the revelations and realizations of that in the Old Covenant is that His mercy endures forever. So when he heard this entourage of people saying, oh man, they're all over Jesus with every kind of need that there is, and he's sitting by the wayside, he hears them because he can't see. His senses in other areas have been sensitized. And he hears. He knows they're coming. He knows they're closer and closer, and he hears the roar of that crowd following Jesus right in front of him. And then he hollers. Everybody say, cries out. Can you say amen? All you city folk, I'm from Plant City. He hollered. And not only am I from Plant City, I'm originally from Kentucky. He hollered. You're from Kentucky. He hollered, didn't he? Yeah, he hollered. Son of David. Where's the focus of his faith? Something he knew about God. The Hasid in the Old Covenant revelation of Him, and the Hasid now in Jesus. God incarnate. Love incarnate. Hallelujah. Son of David, have mercy on me. What? It should be, Son of David, heal me. You've got all power. You're omnipotent. You've got an anointing to heal. You're anointed to set the captive free. I appeal to your anointing. No, I appeal to your character and your person. Son of David, have mercy on me. No response. Jesus is going right along. He cries louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the disciples shush him. They're so tired of everybody elbowing and pushing and shoving to get at Jesus. So, shh. And you know what he did? Because he knew something about him that his faith was going to target. Son of David, have what? Mercy. If I receive your mercy, what's going to flow because of that mercy? My need is going to be met because his mercy endures forever. Suddenly, Jesus stopped in his tracks. All these people elbowing him, pushing. He turned around and said, "Bring that man to me." Everybody say, "Blip on the radar." Hallelujah. Amen. Bring what? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. With faith, therefore, it must be possible to please him. Can you say amen? Because we're saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. He wants to save the lost. Amen. It's all the prayer of faith saves the sick. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Listen. He said, "Bring that man to me. Bring that man to me." And of course, he opened his eyes. He saw beyond the power and the anointing, and he saw the heart of God beating in Jesus. He saw the chassid that they saw when they said, "He's my physician." Hallelujah. 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 And he appealed to the God, what he knew about God. And it resulted in a wonderful miracle of healing. So there's a word that has become a phrase based on the chassid, the love of God, and its loving kindness. Well, listen to this in Psalm 107 as we close again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to clarify. Share your testimony of God's deliverance. Declare that you are redeemed. In other words, biblically, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Don't let that man, woman, boy, or girl expect to receive anything from God. You say, "Well, Pastor, I have doubts. I have fears. I don't stand in perfect faith." He's not asking you to stand yet in perfect faith. He's asking you to acknowledge that you are loved with perfect love. He that feareth is not perfected in love. I don't love him like I ought to. I don't love him enough. This is not about you. It's not all about you. If you need help for you, get to know him. Seek the knowledge of him. For perfect love. We've known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Secondary meaning to this, let them say what the first verse says. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. You're going to find that phrase throughout all the Old Covenant. His mercy endures forever. It's what got Jeremiah out of the mire. It got him out of depression. And it got him back prophesying unto Israel. It's what gave him hope when nobody got saved. And nobody repented. And he watched the destruction of covenant people. He watched them become slaves, taken captive down into Babylon. Hang their harps upon the willows. Quit worshiping and praising God. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Lamentations 3, he said, when I consider the wormwood and the gall. Wormwood. Say it with me, wormwood. They're talking about comets and asteroids. If they see one that looks like it's coming, if they pick it up in time, they're trying to find ways to hit it with a missile or explode something on it to change its trajectory so it doesn't hit the earth and obliterate us all. Well, they're good at what they do, and they've got good intentions, but there's one comet that's coming. It's going to hit. Not going to kill everybody. It's going to land in the sea. It's going to destroy a third part of everything that's in the sea, including people and islands. You know what its name is? Wormwood. This, when I consider the wormwood, the death and devastation, all of this that I'm seeing, covenant people in chains, covenant people enslaved, covenant people as if they had no covenant with God. Covenant people that did not listen or give heed to the word, and now they're in a mess just like the pagans are. They call on their false gods, nothing happened. They won't call on the true God. Oh, they called on him. But in their compromise, he did not answer them. And this preacher that saw all of this, experienced all of that, when I consider that my spirit is humbled, not the virtue of humility, it's the word crushed. It crushed me. It just crushed me to see the long faces on Sunday morning. It crushed me to see people living as if God does not exist. It crushed me to see fear defeating God's people. It crushed me that they can't sing a song in the night. It crushed me that they don't raise a hallelujah when they're down. They sing the blues just like the world. It's crushing me to see such defeat and devastation and deception and God's covenant people being defrauded from the help that God is looking to give. Because we have not sought the knowledge of Him. We just want Him to do what we need done. And to use our faith for that. Let's get to the bottom of this. Look here. It's three freckles past a hair. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here to help me preach today. Three freckles past a hair already. Time flies. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, your testimony, but also let them say the Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good is a statement, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so. Jehoshaphat, you're overwhelmed. Three armies have joined together to destroy your little group. Don't send your military out there. Send those that are designated to sing to the Lord in the temple. Amen. And have them say in song. But say what? The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And let them say it repetitiously. Amen. And while they're declaring the Hasid of God for Israel that caused Him to come into covenant with them, they watched a spirit of confusion come on this allied army, and every man turned his sword on the person next to them, and they kept killing each other till there was only two left, and they both thrust each other, and they both fell down dead. Why? Because the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good, and let the redeemed say so.
Amen.
Let them say so. Tell them to go out. Don't sing your favorite Pentecostal song. Go out and say a revelation in song about the Hasid of God. Amen. Something you know about Him that He will verify and confirm with victory and with healing and with help. The Lord is good. and His mercy endures forever. Now let's finish this psalm. Your stomach growling? Oh, Lord. I don't want to blow a speaker. Anyway. Especially right here. Look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Oh, that men, verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. I love the last verse. Whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That means you will know your God. The Lord is good. Let the redeemed say so. His mercy endures forever. That's why this weeping prophet, that he was known as weeping, crushed by preaching to a generation that did not listen and watched the defeat, the devastation, and the destruction. This is where he got his hope back. In spite of it all, it's too late, the devil says. You've drifted too far. There is no hope for you. He's a liar and the father of it, because God is love. That's what he didn't count on. God will abandon them. God must be fed up with them. He is fed up with things that are wrong, but he didn't abandon them. You left me, but I'm standing right here. If you come back to me, what's going to happen? I'm going to say, No, you had your chance. Oh, yeah. I guess you are crawling back to me now. You're out there enslaved. You're out there. Your enemies are defeating you. You need me. You're coming back. Well, it ain't going to work, Jack. I don't know who Jack is. Probably not a Hebrew man. Can you say amen? Amen? It ain't going to work. Don't play God that way. Don't take advantage of this love. Embrace it. Believe it and receive it. He'll help you to overcome. He'll help you to be delivered. He'll help you to get rid of that habit. He'll help you not to fall into that trap, because He loves you. When I consider the wormwood, the gall, the bitterness of it, my soul is crushed within me. This I recall to mind. I rehearse in my mind. Thy mercies. Everybody say hasid. That's what produces the mercy, the grace, the love. It's that character of God. God is love. He has power. Will He release it in my behalf? Yes, He will. If you believe who He is, you can believe He's a rewarder when you diligently seek Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Thy mercies are new every morning. They've wore me out, but they hadn't wore your love out. Amen. They're going to stay in Babylon. There is a chastisement, but it's not to destroy them. It's a corrective judgment. Can you say amen? And when they finally are at the place that they'll humbly come back in repenting, I'm standing ready to restore. Oh, I love the book of Joel, don't you? I'm going to restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the locust have eaten. They have devastated the field. They've eaten it to the ground and eat up the roots. Amen. One of the worst plagues they could have in an agriculture-driven economy is for the locust swarms to come and devastate everything that was planted. But I'm going to restore to you the years that they have taken from you, because I'm going to give you, and I'm going to do it in one season, it's not going to take me years to get you back blessed like I wanted you blessed. Oh, this is shouting ground. Amen. It's not going to take me years to get back what those years have taken from you. I'm going to give it back to you in a season, because I'm going to give you the former and the latter rain in one season. I'm looking for my rain stick. I started looking for it because you requested it. I found it and lost it again because I put it up so I could find it. I put it in a safe place like my wife. Amen. She wasn't a big country music fan, even from Kentucky. She thought Johnny Cash is cash you put in a mason jar and hide from your wife in the part of the toilet back there. She thought Kitty Wells was where cats go to drink water. You don't know who Kitty Wells is either. This I recall to mind. Thy mercies. That's Hasid. He knew that. He knew who God was. He said he's still faithful. If they deny him, he's going to deny them. But if they come back, he's going to acknowledge them and accept them and restore them. Amen. Therefore have I hope. Thy mercies are new every morning. Therefore have I hope. Now when he says, great is thy faithfulness, in the general sense, he's faithful in everything. But specific to that situation, he's faithful to show mercy to people who do not deserve anything but judgment. Hard-hearted, stiff-necked. He said, I didn't choose you to establish a covenant with because you were greater in number, because you had such prestige and this, that, and the other, or because you were kind-hearted and sweet and obedient. No, I chose you. I chose you because I made a covenant with Abraham. And listen to this. It wasn't just about his integrity that he can't lie. He's bound himself to his word. Listen, it's all about Hasid. He said, I set my love. You didn't stimulate it in me. You didn't have anything lovable about you. But I set by covenant my love upon you. That's different kind of love than people have. Amen? For sure. Thank you. What part of Georgia are you from? Oh, okay. Anyway, redneck language. Okay. For sure. For sure. For sure. Don't ever just look at his integrity and not see his hasid. I set my love upon you. This is a love covenant. He covenanted to love them in spite of their self. And the strength of his covenant gives us all hope, because he chose a people that were unlovable and didn't deserve it. And yet he granted it by covenant. When they violated it, by the way, don't take advantage of that kind of love. How shall we escape that judgment to come and that wrath if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Can you say, man, you can't play with this? You can't walk out of here and do your own thing just because he's a loving God. Let me tell you about a loving God if you're truly his child. If you're truly a child of God, your sin will still have consequences. All because of his hasid. He chastens every son that he loves. Everyone, there's no exception if you're his child. You rebel, you say, I'm going to use grace as a cover-up for my sinful acts. No, you can't cover it up with grace. You can't cover it up with the blood. Don't say God can't see through the blood. He sees everything. There's nothing hid from the eyes of him of who we have to do. But I'm telling you, this God who sees it all is a loving, kind God who offers mercy to you. And he will help you to overcome if you would just come clean with him. But he chastens every son that he loves. He scourges. This is when it really hurts. This is when it really, he scourges everyone that he receives. If you be without chastisement, if you can sin without consequence, You're a bastard and not a son. That's pretty plain language. You don't belong to him. You can't say Heavenly Father because he's not your daddy. If he's your daddy, he doesn't just love you and forgive you. He steers you back to himself. He allows things to occur to bring you back to God. Amen? Everyone, without exception. You see someone sinning without consequence, it's either coming or they've never met him. It's either coming or they've never met him. You may be under the chastisement of God this morning. Part of that is you can't enjoy his presence feeling so guilty. God is telling you, I'm merciful. Come on. Don't just go on in it. Don't just keep going on in it. Don't be so stubborn. Amen. I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. Come back to me. You can sing the praises of God again. Come back to me. Quit compromising. Get rid of the pornography. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of unforgiveness. Get rid of hatred. Get rid of anger and malice. This wisdom doesn't come from above. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure. And it's peaceable. And it's easy to be entreated. God said, come let us reason together. Though your sins were scarlet, because he is good and he is loving and kind, let's reason together. Let's talk about it. Don't clam up on me and hide from me like Adam did. Come to me. Let's have a conversation about it. Though your sins were scarlet, they'll be white as snow, red like crimson. They can be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. If you refuse and rebel, you will be destroyed by the sword. Your enemies will prevail over you. That's what happened to Israel. But there is still hope. I recall this to mind. Your mercies new every morning. Great is your faithfulness to your own character of love. That's what he's saying. I know that about my God and my King. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got our money's worth today. I started closing to get out at 12:30. Did you get something out of this message today? Do you believe it's important to understand the imperative of faith and how to meet that qualification so that we can receive our needs met and pray for others? Amen. Would you stand with me today? God is so good. God is so good. No longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. Can we sing just a couple of verses? Hallelujah.